Father God, we thank you so much for today. Thank you for bringing us together the way that you have. And God, we just want to dedicate this time to you. I ask, God, that you will speak, Lord, even as we sang. I pray that you will speak to our hearts. I pray, God, that we would leave here today having had a true encounter with you. And so, God, we just give you this time, and we open our hearts, we open our minds, we open our ears to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you will, look in your bulletins. You've got message notes for today. If you want to take those out, I want to welcome you to 40 Days of Prayer. This is our intro to this campaign that we're going to be focusing on for the next few weeks. It's important for us as the pastors and staff here that we focus intensely on spiritual growth. And the reason for that is because most of the problems in your life come from spiritual immaturity. Let me say that one more time. Most of the problems in your life come because of spiritual immaturity. When we're not spiritually mature, we make dumb decisions. We make decisions based on how we feel. We're manipulated by our moods. And how many of you guys know that that's a horrible way to make decisions? After we do dumb stuff, people ask us the inevitable question, why did you do that? And our response is usually, well, I just felt like, well, you obviously felt the wrong thing, right? So mature people make decisions based on truth, not their feelings. And so many of the problems in our world today are because of immaturity, the immaturity of people. People not knowing how to make decisions, not knowing what to do when situations happen in their lives. The Bible tells us that growth is God's will for your life. He wants you to grow. How many of you guys know babies are cute? Little kids. Little kids are cute. Pastor Ray was like, man, how are you going to follow that? I was like, hey, I don't know, man. Little kids are cute. But when a child doesn't grow up, that's not cute. That's tragic. And I know a lot of old people who are spiritually immature, emotionally immature. They never grew up. They grew old, but they never grew up. God wants you to grow up. God wants me to grow up. God wants us to be spiritually strong. He wants you to be a man of God or a woman of God. Ephesians 4 in your outline at the top there, it says, we're not meant to remain as children at the mercy of every wind of teaching. Instead, we're meant to hold firmly to the truth in love and to grow up in every way into Christ. You should circle those words, grow up. Because that's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for all of us, is for us to grow up. Now, what's the perfect picture of maturity? Perfect picture of maturity is Jesus. All you have to do is look at Jesus. He's the ultimate picture of spiritual maturity, emotional maturity, intellectual maturity. And so to have the thoughts, to think like Christ, to be able to respond to situations that happen in your life the way that he did, that's maturity. And if you will do that, your life will be so much better. So starting next Sunday, and then for the next 40 days, we're going to dive into this subject of prayer. How many of you guys understand that all the breakthroughs that happen in your life, all the miracles that happen in your life, all the things that God wants to do in your life will happen through prayer? That's important, right? Literally, all the good things, all the blessings, all the breakthroughs, all the stuff that happens that just blows your mind about the goodness of God in your life is going to happen through prayer. But to kind of prep us for that, today I want to look at why we're going to be doing the things the way that we're going to do them for the next 40 days, starting next week. This campaign is not a sermon series. It's a full-on, hands-on, interactive campaign that we're going to be doing starting next Sunday for the next 40 days. And it's built on 6 spiritual principles. There are laws to spiritual growth. God is the God of order, and He's designed everything with principles in mind. He designed the universe on the principles of physics. How many of you guys understand the law of gravity applies to everybody, right, every day?
Right.
Because it's a law, it's a principle. Mm-hmm. And God has established, He's designed the universe with all these physical principles or laws. But the same is true with spiritual laws. God has established spiritual laws that are true for everybody every day. And when you follow those principles, your life works. So, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at six spiritual laws or 6 spiritual principles that are the basis for this campaign that we're going to be doing. Now, the first spiritual law or spiritual principle is that you grow when you feed on the Word of God. You grow when you feed on the Word of God. How many of you guys know that if you eat junk food every day, it's not going to be good for your health? Well, the same is true spiritually. You have to feed on the Word of God in order to be healthy. Now, what if you ate one great meal on Sunday and then you didn't eat any food the rest of the week? How healthy would you be? What would be the end result of that? What would you look like? What would you feel like? Well, that's what's going on with a lot of people. They come to church and they get a great meal. They feed on the Word of God. But then the rest of the week, there's nothing. And the result of that is you're weak, you're emaciated, you're depressed, you're struggling, and it's all because you've starved yourself from the Word of God. So we have the first law of spiritual growth is you gotta eat. Amen?
Amen.
You gotta eat. Now, how do you do that? How do we feed on the Word of God? I'm gonna give you six ways that you can feed on the Word of God. First of all, you hear it. You read it, you study it, you memorize it, you meditate on it, and then you apply it. Six ways. Now, if the only spiritual input that I get is hearing, like right now, this is one of those situations where you just come to church on Sunday and you hear preaching, or maybe you listen to someone teach on the radio in your car when you go to work during the week or whatever. But if all you do is hear the word of God, Satan can easily steal that word from your heart. He can easily steal it from you. And because of that, he can then steal your joy. He can steal your peace. Because if all you're doing is hearing the word of God, you don't have a real grasp of it. And the reason for that is this. Did you guys know? Oh, this is so depressing for me. Did you guys know that we forget 95% of everything we hear within 72 hours? 72 hours! You forget 95% of what you hear. So by Wednesday, you will have forgotten everything I said, unless you write it down. That's why we always give you something to write with every Sunday. You always have a pen and paper here at this church, because as pastors, that is so depressing to work all week to develop a message and preach it, and then by Wednesday, people are like, what was it that you were saying? But if all you do is hear the word of God, Satan can easily steal that word from you because it's not, you don't have a grip on it. But if you hear the word and then you read a little bit every day, you get a better grip. Satan can't pull it away from you as quick. Then if you hear it and then you read a little bit every day and then you actually maybe study it a little bit, you get an even better grip. And if you memorize scripture, oh man, now you've got a serious grip. And then if you meditate on it, which simply means to seriously think about it, to really ponder it. But then ultimately, when you apply that word, after you've heard it and you've read it and you've studied it and you've meditated on it and you actually do it, then no one can take that word from you. For the next 40 days, what we're going to do is we're going to teach you, or reteach you, if that's the case, how to hear, read, study, memorize, meditate, apply the word of God, specifically in the area of prayer. That's the theme of what we're going to be doing. And so there's some habits that we're going to really be focusing on and teaching. So how do you do this so you can get a good grip on things and so you won't be immature? You won't be a baby when it comes to spiritual things. So that's the first principle. So there's an action step there in your notes. And the action step is this. For the next 40 days, starting next Sunday, the action step is a daily time with God for 40 days. You're going to spend a little bit of time with God every day. I'm asking that you spend at least 5 minutes a day starting next week for that 40-day period. I'm asking that you spend at least 5 minutes, maybe 10, 15, 20, whatever your life situation works for you, but a little bit every day that you're going to eat. Amen? You're going to feed on the Word of God every day for 40 days, and it's going to make you healthier. It's going to make you stronger. All right, so that's spiritual law number one. The second spiritual law of spiritual growth is that we grow when we learn in different ways. We grow when we learn in different ways. This is so fascinating to me that literally every one of us is unique. There has never been another person like you. And there will never be another person like you. You are exquisitely unique. Everything about you is one of a kind. You have a unique eye print. You have a unique voice print. You have a unique thumbprint and fingerprints and footprint. Did you know that every one of you has a different heartbeat? You're unique. And you also, every single one of us in this room, we all learn differently than the person sitting next to us. And so it's important for you to know how you learn best, but you also need to learn how to learn using other methods. There's basically four kind of established learning styles. But even the Bible talks about this. In Luke 3, verse 18, and it's talking about John the Baptist, it says, in many different ways, John preached the good news to the people. Why would he use different ways to teach the same message? Why did Jesus use different ways to teach the same message? Because everybody learns different. Everyone has a different learning style. In fact, that's the reason why here at our church, I don't want to be, and I'm not the only person that teaches, the only person that preaches. Because I don't want you guys to just get your spiritual diet from one voice or one personality. I mean, Pastor Luann has a different personality. She has a different style when she's up here teaching. Pastor Ed, he has a different personality. He has a different style when he teaches. And then we bring in guest teachers. We bring in people like Jim Jessup and Mosley Collins and other people, because I want you guys to hear, we're all preaching the same message, but I want you to hear it from different people, different methods, different styles, because it's going to connect with you more. And personally, really, honestly, it doesn't matter to me who you like more. It doesn't hurt my feelings to hear you go, man, I love it when Pastor Luann teaches. Awesome. That I love that too. Or Pastor Ed or any guest that we have or whatever. Because it's important that you hear, that you learn from different people in different ways. Now, there's four basic learning styles. Some of you guys understand this. Some of you guys are auditory learners. You learn by listening. And if you're an auditory learner, you love church. Because you just sit and listen. Or you did great in school because you just sit in a classroom and you listen. Because that's the primary way that you learn. It's through your ears. You know, the only problem, again, is that if you don't write it down, you ain't learning it. Amen? You forget what you hear. Some of you guys say, you know, I don't like to listen. I like to read or I like to watch. You're visual learners. You like to go on YouTube and watch a video, and then you figure out, you know how to do stuff based on, or you read a book or you read a manual or whatever, but you're visual learners. Some of you are oral learners. You actually learn by talking. You learn by talking. If you're an oral learner, you love a small group situation where you can just talk about topics, you talk about things, because when you talk, you actually activate the learning process as far as your mind. Oral learners, church is a little difficult because in this setting, you have to be quiet. The though sometimes you're not. But I understand. It's okay. That's how you learn. You know, oral learners think, they think out loud. Ever been on a bus or been on a plane or in an elevator with an oral, a learner, and they're talking to themselves, you know? That's because they're thinking out loud. Now, there are some people who say, I don't like to listen. I don't like to read. I don't like to talk. They're called men. I'm just sort of kidding. Oh, man, I didn't mean to call out any guys. The fourth group, they're kinesthetic learners. They're hands-on people. They learn by doing things. You know, nobody learns to play football by reading a book. No one learns to play golf by hearing a lecture. You know, we say, let's go play catch. Let's go shoot some hoops. Let's go to the driving range and hit some balls. We learn by doing. That's a kinesthetic learner. With a kinesthetic learner, when you bring them a problem or a task, the first thing they usually say is, give it to me, I'll figure it out. Right? That's a kinesthetic learner. So what we're going to do during the next 40 days is we're going to teach you one truth, and that's prayer. But we're going to teach it through the ear. You're going to hear sermons every week for 6 weeks here in this setting. You're going to hear it and learn that way. You're going to learn it through your eyes. We're going to, with the small group DVD studies, you'll watch a video. There's 7 videos that are connected to this, and you'll learn in that way. You're going to learn through the mouth, orally, because we're going to be, after we watch the video, we're going to break into smaller groups, and we're going to be able to talk about the things that we've learned. There's going to be projects that we're going to do within the small group setting as well. Things that you're going to, hands-on stuff that you're going to do. There's a devotional daily that you're going to be able to read. I need you to listen to this. If all that you do during this time is just come to church and hear the sermons, you will miss 90% of what this campaign is about. Amen. Because the sermon on Sunday is only 10% of what this whole thing is about. There's literally 9 other things that we're doing that's applied to this. It's not a sermon series. It's a campaign for us, for spiritual growth. We learn in different ways. Job 33, verse 14, says, God speaks in different ways, and we don't always recognize his voice. God speaks in different ways, and sometimes we don't recognize his voice because we learn in different ways. And that's why this campaign is set up the way that it is, so that no matter what your learning style is, you are going to get tons and tons and tons of stuff out of this, and you're going to grow. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so here's the third law of spiritual growth, and that is we grow when we develop spiritual habits. We grow when we develop spiritual habits. Now, I can't overestimate to you the importance of building good habits in your life. If you build good habits in your life, you're going to build good character in your life. And if you have good character, you're going to have a great destiny for your life. Your habits determine what you are, And what you are determines where you go in life. And so your character is actually the sum total of your habits. Your character is the sum total of your habits. For instance, if you say, I'm a kind person. I'm a kind person. I have the character quality of kindness. But if you're only kind 25% of the time, then you're not a kind person because you don't have the habit of being kind. You may say, I'm an honest person. I have integrity. But if you're only honest 25% of the time, you haven't established the habit of honesty or integrity. You're not honest or integrous. It'd be kind of like if I say to my wife, hey, baby, I'll be faithful to you 28 days of the month. I say this because for some reason we're in this nebulous thing in our culture today of calling things what they're not. I'm faithful. Well, 28 days. No, you're not. Because your habits, what you do habitually is who you are, is what you are. That's your character. That's the truth. Partial faithfulness is not faithfulness. Amen. Partial obedience is not obedience. I can't say I'm a faithful husband if I'm only faithful part of the time. I have to have the habit of being faithful. Then I'm truly faithful. Now, there's a lot of habits that will help us as far as our spiritual life. But we're going to focus on four specific habits for this campaign. But first, I want you to notice a couple of scriptures. Here's the question. How do you develop habits? How does it happen? Discipline. By repetition, right? By repetition and by practice. John 13, verse 17, Jesus says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you, what does it say? Practice them. Circle that. Practice them. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you practice them, if you do them, if you put them into practice. It's important that you guys write this down. You don't get God's blessing for knowing the right thing to do. You get God's blessing by doing the right thing. For practicing the right thing. For making it a habit. You make a habit of doing the right things. That's how you get the blessing of God. Now, so you build habits by repetition, by practice. Now, study after study, you know, you may have a question of, you know, why is this 40 days? Well, it's really based on the studies of, you know, they've determined that it takes about six weeks to build a habit, to make a new habit. It's interesting, at my gym, I did this fitness competition last year, and guess what? It was 6 weeks long. Because it takes 3 weeks to get comfortable with something new. Have you ever been on a diet or anything like that? And the first week, man, is H-E double hockey sticks, right? I mean, because it's just such a shock to your system or whatever. Literally takes 3 weeks to get comfortable with whatever the new thing is. But then it takes another 3 weeks for it to get ingrained in you as more of as a habit. By the end of this, you know, towards the, you know, week four, week five, week six, when I was doing the fitness competition thing, I was in a groove, man. I knew what to eat. I knew what to do. You know, my gym schedule, everything kind of flowed at that point because it takes that long. Think about this for a sec. For some of you guys, you'll read the Bible for a day and then you'll skip a day. And then you'll read the Bible for 2 days because you're trying to make up for that day that you missed, right? And then you'll skip 3 days. And then you'll read the Bible, you know, again for a couple of days, and then you'll skip a week. And then you'll read the Bible again for a day or two, and then you'll skip 2 weeks. And why? Why does it happen like that? It's because you haven't done it every day for 6 weeks. Or perhaps maybe there was a time in your life when you did, but you got away from that, and now you've got to relaunch this whole thing again because it takes 6 weeks generally to establish a new habit. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says, solid food is for mature people. Babies eat Gerber baby food, which is really nasty. But when you're mature, you get to eat a steak. A baby can't eat a steak. In Hebrews, it says, solid food is for mature people whose minds have been trained by practice. That's a habit. Whose minds have been trained by practice to know the difference between good and evil. One of the reasons why you might have problems in your life is that you often make bad decisions because you don't know which thing to do. You haven't trained yourself to be able to distinguish between what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad. But when you become spiritually mature, when you've established the habits that train yourself to be able to do those things, then you will know what's the right decision in every situation. But it's all about the habits. How many of you guys have been watching the Olympics? Winter Olympics. Nobody gets to the Olympics on, I just hope I get there someday. I'm sorry for those of you that are, you know, like, man, I'm going to do that. I think maybe one day. You have to set up habits and be disciplined in order to do it. You know, Over my life, I've had the opportunity to get to meet some incredibly successful people in the music industry, in the sports world, in the media, TV and movies, business. I've met a lot of super, super successful people, but I've also met a lot of unsuccessful people. You want to know the difference between the successful people that I've met and the unsuccessful people that I've met? It's really, really simple. Successful people put the time and the energy into establishing habits that unsuccessful people are not willing to do. That's it. Successful people are regular, normal, even awkward people, just like you and me. But they've established certain habits in their lives that they do. The best musicians in the world that I've worked with, they practice every day. It's not some supernatural thing. They get in there and they practice. The world-class athletes I've been around, they work out, they train, they eat a certain way every day. That's all it is. You determine your habits, and your habits determine you. In 1 Corinthians 9:25, it says, "All good athletes train hard and practice to get better. They do it to win a prize that won't last, but we practice to win a prize that will last forever." The habits you build in your spiritual life will pay off for you for eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever. So during these 40 days, we're going to focus on four habits. The first habit is the habit of the weekly large group worship. That's what we're doing now. Church. The second habit is the habit of small group fellowship. That's the small group DVD study that'll either be Sunday night or Tuesday night, depending on which one you sign up for. The third habit is the daily time alone with God. We've talked about that. Where you read your Bible, pray, and allow God to speak to you. That's really, really important. So there's three different kinds, you know, of habits. There's the large group, there's the smaller group, then there's the personal thing, and also there's the memorizing scripture. That's the other habit that we want you to do. Guys, I want you to be successful. You know, like I talked about, I know successful people, I know unsuccessful people. But my hope, my prayer for you, literally, even as I was driving here today and I was praying for you guys, my desire, my dream is that you would be successful. I mean, as your pastor, your spiritual coach or whatever, my job is to help you succeed. That's why we're doing this. That's why we've invested in this. That's why I've made myself available to be able to meet with you and do these small groups, do whatever it takes, because I want you to be successful. I want you to succeed in every area of your life. I want you to be successful in your finances. I want you to be successful in your marriages, your relationships, everything. Now, I want you to see this. There's only one place in the Bible where God promises and guarantees success for you. You want to know where that is?
Yeah.
It's in the Old Testament book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. Let's look. My translation says, this is God speaking to all of us. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. God's promise, His guarantee to you. Establish these habits. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Number four, I'm going to blast through these. Number four is we grow when we help each other grow. You cannot grow to spiritual maturity by yourself. Right. It's not a solo sport. You cannot become the person that God wants you to be by yourself. You need me and I need you. We're better together. And that's how God set this up. That's how He wired us. so that we would need each other. And so the more you involve other people who are strong in the Lord in your life, the stronger you're going to be, the stronger you're going to get. Everything about the kingdom of God is relational. Spiritual growth is relational. Romans 1 verse 12 says, Paul says, I want us to help each other with the faith that we have. Your faith will help me. My faith will help you. You have to have other people, strong believers in your life. Did you know that there's 56 commands in the Bible that you can't obey by yourself? Love one another. Serve one another. Help one another. Care for one another. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. Serve one another. Share with one another. Build each other up. Be there for each other. It goes on and on. There's literally 56 times that you, where we're told you've got to be in relationship. And that's why I'm asking you to sign up for the DVD study. Now, did you know that this one another and this relational part of the Christian faith is the opposite of every other faith on the earth? Every other faith on the earth says that if you want to really get to the top, you need to separate yourself from everyone, all the sinful people and sinful situations. You need to go up on a mountain somewhere and live in a cave and be by yourself and connect personally with God. Where Jesus was like, no. You need to be with people. Every time you read about Jesus, he was around people. He was at a party. Jesus was the original wedding crasher. He was at weddings. He was always at parties. So much so that the religious elite called him a drunkard. Said he drinks too much. He eats too much. He parties too much. How could he be, how could he be so spiritual? How could he be God when he's always at a party? Jesus was relational. That's what he was trying to teach us. Why is being in a small group or being connected to people so important to your spiritual growth? It's simply this. The most important thing God wants you to learn while you're here on this earth is how to love him and how to love people. And you can't love people in a cave. You can't love people all holed up by yourself. You've got to be in relationship. You've got to have people in your life who maybe even rub you the wrong way. Am I rubbing you the wrong way right now? This is good for you, right? Tell the person next to you, this is good for you. Well, here's another one. How about this? The most selfish person on the earth is a baby. Right? The whole world revolves around the baby. I, me. But like I said earlier, I know a lot of old people who never grew up. It's all about them. I, me. My schedule, my plan, my this, my that. Can you make the church fit my thing? Can you make God fit my... I, me. It's only when a baby grows up to maturity that they actually think about other people. And so we grow when we are connected with one another, when we are in community. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Let us not give up the habit. There's that word again. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more, So here's the action step in your notes there. Sign up for the small group DVD study. As soon as church is over, head over there, sign up for that. Number five, the fifth law of spiritual growth. We grow when we expect to grow. Matthew 9, verse 29, Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. According to your faith, it will be done to you. Do you guys understand that Jesus blesses your life according to your faith? Whatever you believe him for, he says, that's what I'm going to bless. So you get to choose what God blesses in your life. Because it's according to your faith, what you actually believe. You actually get to choose how much your life succeeds based on your faith. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. So the question that you have to ask yourself for this next 40 days is, what are you going to expect to happen during that time, during the 40 days? What are your expectations? If you expect nothing to happen, guess what? Nothing's going to happen. Because according to your faith, it will be done to you. I highly recommend that you go home today and you think about this. You think about what you want. What do you want to happen during this 40-day period? What do you want God to do in your life? What breakthrough would you like to see happen in your life? What prayer requests do you have? What area of your life do you want to get stronger in or better in or get rid of certain things or whatever it might be? Because it's according to your faith that God will do this. Guys, God doesn't move because of your complaining. Amen. He doesn't move because of your griping, your moaning and groaning. But God will literally move heaven and earth if you trust him for something. That activates God. Oh, they trust me. Wham! Every time God moves, every miracle that happens in someone's life is because they believed. They trusted him. That activates God. If you want God to do something in your life, like this next 40 days, God, I want to grow. I don't want to be a baby anymore. I don't want to be manipulated by my feelings and by other people's opinions and this and that. Man, believe that God will do something amazing in your life over these next 40 days. You've got to think about this. You need to set a goal. Don't waste this 40-day period. Here's the last one, number six. I'm going to close with this. The last law of growth is we grow when we commit to grow. We grow when we commit to grow. We grow when we choose to grow, when you intend to grow. Growth is always a choice. It's not automatic. It's not because you've been in church X amount of days or years. It's not automatic. You have to choose. You have to make the commitment. You have to choose the habits. You have to choose to do the things that are required in order for you to grow. You have to make the choice. Let me ask you this. A year from today, where do you expect to be spiritually? Will you be the same?
No.
Dealing with the same problems, circling around the same old issues, complaining and whining about the same old stuff? Or will you be different? Will you be stronger? Will you be more mature a year from now? Did you know? It's your choice. I can't do it for you. The person sitting next to you can't do it for you. You know, whoever's in office can't do it for you. It's your choice. A year from now, some of you guys are going to be better people. You're going to be stronger. You're going to have more faith. Some of you a year from now are going to be the same. But it's up to you. It's your choice. The bottom line, if, you know, I know I've been pretty straightforward, but let me, why not? Let's keep on being straightforward. You're as close to God as you want to be. It's not your husband's fault. It's not your wife's fault. It's not your kids, your parents. You're as close to God as you want to be. Because God doesn't move. God didn't move somewhere else. God's always here. He's always there for you. So the only one that moves is us. Because it's a choice. Growth is a choice. So, the title of my message, do you really want to grow up? Are you willing to do the things that we've talked about? It's only 6 weeks. I'm not asking for your firstborn.
Come on, Pastor. This is good.
It's 6 weeks. Come on. If you're not willing, that's really okay. It's fine. Jeremiah 29:13, God says, "You'll find me when you get serious about finding me and you want it more than anything else."
Yeah.
But when we say, "God, I want to grow. I want to change. I don't want to be a baby anymore. I don't want the fear and anxiety and depression, all these things that plague my life. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to grow up. I want to be a woman of God. I want to be a man of God. I want to be strong. I want to be steady. I want to be stable." That's a choice that you and I have to make. So there's one other action step in your notes there, and that is to covenant with others. To covenant with others. You grow faster when you make a decision to be with other people, to do it together. A diet's easier when you're with someone, when you do it together. I mean, that's the whole premise behind Weight Watchers and, you know, all these other things. Working out in the gym is better, it's easier when you have a partner. Change happens easier when we have someone with us. So it's easier to grow when we do it together, when we come together and say, "Let's do this together. Let's hold each other up. Let's encourage one another. We're in this together." So that's what I'm asking is for that covenant between us to go, "You know what? If you'll do it, I'll do it. We'll do it together. We're going to start this. We're going to finish this together." That's a covenant. And it's funny how sometimes people have an issue with making a covenant with God, even though we do this all the time in the natural. You can't buy a car without having a covenant. You sign a piece of paper saying, I promise to pay X amount of money every month until this thing is paid off. That's a covenant. You can't buy a house. You can't even rent a house without a covenant where you sign and say, I'm going to pay this amount every month until it's paid off or whatever. That's a covenant. That's a commitment. There's that C word, the commitment. Last blunt point here. The epitome of immaturity is the person who won't commit to anything. The fear of commitment is the ultimate example of immaturity. Man, it's quiet in here. The only way you grow is by making commitments. All right. So, again, my desire is for you guys to grow. And that's what I'm committed to that. I'm committed to do whatever I can to help you to grow. In fact, I'm committed to force you to grow because you got to. We have to. Guys, our nation is in trouble. We are in massive, massive trouble. We need mature people. People that know how to pray. People that know how to make the right decisions. We need this. Our world, our nation needs you to grow up. We have to grow up. And so that's what we're going to be focused on for the next 40 days. 2 Corinthians 13:9 says, our greatest wish and prayer is that you will become mature Christians. You guys bow your heads right now. I'm going to do something a little bit different. I just want to pray for you, pray over you. And then we'll have our greeters come forward and we'll have our offering and close our service. Father God, as I just look out on everyone here, God, these are good people. These are your people. And you love them. And I love them. And I know for many, they've been through lots of ups and downs, highs and lows, incredible difficulty, great joy. God, I believe that our best days are ahead for all of us, God. God, I just want to pray a blessing upon every single person here. Lord, I know that it's your desire to bless them. I know it's your desire for them to grow. And so, God, I pray with an expectation that every single one of them will choose to grow. We'll make the commitment to do whatever it takes to become all that you've called them to be. And so, God, I pray that you will help them. I pray that even in the times when it may be difficult, Lord, that you would provide a way for them to be encouraged, to be blessed. I ask, God, that you would help us to grow up, that we wouldn't be babies, that we wouldn't be uncommitted, flaky people, God, but that we would be strong in you, strong in the habits that you called us to establish, and that, God, that your blessing and your and success would be upon their lives from this point on. I pray, God, that this would be a marker event, a marker time for each of them, that years from now they would look back and go, that was the moment when everything changed. That was the moment when success started to happen in my life. That was the moment of breakthrough that happened when God stepped in and everything changed for the better for me. And so, God, we dedicate this time to you. We give it to you. And we have an expectation of good things, God, for every single one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise? All right. So, if you have paid for a workbook already, those are over here. If you need to order a workbook, which is a really important part of this campaign, you can do that over here as well. Also, be sure and sign up for the DVD study that's going to happen starting. All of this starts next Sunday. So you'll bring your workbook to church with you on Sunday. We'll do church. We'll do the small group. There's a small group Sunday. There's a small group Tuesday. And then the youth group does it on Wednesday. Everything launches next Sunday. So be sure to go by here and find out. If you have any questions, be sure to let me know as well. At the end of our service, if you need prayer for anything at all, anything that's going on in your life that you need help with, be sure and come forward as well. I want to pray for you guys as far as the offering, and then we're going to close our service. So, Father God, thank you so much for today. And Lord, you know that we need a great offering today, that it's that time of the month, Lord. And so, God, I just pray that you will move upon the hearts of your people, and that, God, that whatever it is that you are wanting them to give, or wanting all of us to give, God, that we would hear your voice and we would obey. And God, we just look forward again, believing and trusting that you will provide everything that we need so that we might be able to keep going forward in you, Lord, and being a blessing to people. So God, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Above all. I've ever been this excited about what God's doing in our church than I am now. If you're fired up, you want to just give him a praise. I cannot wait. Make sure that you use your invite cards and you invite people all over town, at the gym, at the restaurants, places where you work, so that people can grow up in God and get close to the Lord and hear his voice and have him move, okay? And tonight, come back, because we want to launch this series with prayer, and we want to launch it with worship. And then the women of our church have prepared an amazing meal for us tonight to fellowship together. Would you just lift your hands up to the Lord? May the Lord bless and keep you, and may he cause his face to shine upon you, and may he fill you with his love, his joy, and his peace. And may this entire week, as you spend time with him, may you be strengthened within by the Holy Spirit. May he strengthen you and give you success. And all God's people said, amen. Woo! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you would like prayer, you can come up here to get it. Also, if you need food or clothing, it is in our clothing closet. And we want to make sure that you leave with the things that you need. God bless you.